sins. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord. What is... Okay. Don't let that guy get too loud. What is getting to you? You know, there's a lot of stuff to choose from in our culture right now. The indifference toward the destructive warming of our planet, the inhumanity of all the current wars and terrorism, the great social divide of our own never-ending political seasons, where elections now seem to inspire more dread than hope. You know, there is an apt biblical phrase for our time. It comes from the letter to the Ephesians, and it calls our age this present darkness. Now, for many, possibly most of us, it is causing emotional, maybe even spiritual distress, a feeling of helplessness and abandonment. And if that is how it is stressing you, you may be struggling with the idea that maybe God doesn't think about you, that God doesn't really understand your problems. And even if he does, God probably is much too busy to care. Maybe you believe that God does have time for some folks, but you've been left off somewhere. You know that you're supposed to be a child of God, but you don't have any sense of that. You feel abandoned, alone, especially when it comes to your connection with God and maybe even to life itself. Well, if you've ever felt or thought that way, or if you're feeling it now, you have a lot of company. Loneliness is at epidemic proportions now in our nation, especially among young people. So if you're feeling alone, I hope that you will hear Jesus' words this morning from our gospel lesson. So look with me now and hear them. As we looked into the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to John, we find Jesus speaking with his disciples. The mood is somber. The cross and the resurrection are coming, which means that they will soon be separated from him. He's trying to tell them what all this means and why they're not to become discouraged. And yet, despite Jesus' assurances, the disciples become quiet and subdued. They fear that they are about to be abandoned. In the opening lines of this chapter, which Pastor Meredith preached from last Sunday, Jesus speaks these wondrous, comforting words that many of us may well know by heart. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I come and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Despite these words, the gloom only deepens. And then Thomas speaks all the others' minds. Lord, we don't know the way. How can we know the way? To which Jesus responds, I am the way and the truth and the life. And now Jesus goes on to tell them that once he leaves them, he will send the Holy Spirit. And his Spirit will not only be with them, but in them from there on. He and the Father, he's saying, are about to become even more present minute by minute with them, even more than Jesus is himself in that moment. And then Jesus speaks a most marvelous promise. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. I will not leave you orphaned. Think of that. God is our loving parent. And in Jesus, God will not ever abandon us. God will never leave orphaned. We will never be left as in that great old spiritual, a motherless child a long way from home. So let's consider for a few moments this morning what it means that God will never leave us orphaned. And let's begin with this meaning. God is always with us. Consider verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Other translations use words like helper or comforter. The word used here means all of those things. I will give you another advocate, helper, comforter, to be with you forever. And then further on in verse 17, he continues, you know him because he abides, stays with you, and he will be in you. In this verse, Jesus is making it very clear that through the Holy Spirit among us and in us, God is always present with us in every moment of each day. When we ask Jesus into our lives, the Spirit comes into us to live in us from then on. Our bodies have actually become a temple where the living presence of God dwells at all times. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? Therefore, glorify God in your body. You see, it's not about whether we feel God's presence all the time or not. The reality is that God is with you and me, even if the feelings are just not registering at the moment. Don't base your trust on those feelings. Put your trust in the promises of Jesus. He promises that he will not leave you or me orphaned. God is always with us, and that's the first meaning of this promise. And it leads us to another meaning. Jesus gives to us the power to overcome the darkness. Listen to verse 19. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live. You also will live. And how amazing those words are. Because I live, you shall also live. Because he is with us, we can do so much more than just cope. We can accomplish more than just endure. We can conquer. And that includes this present darkness, whatever our current circumstance. I know something of what it is to be orphaned. My father died when I was just 10 years old. And in many ways, he had been the assurance of God's presence in our home. And it's not just because he was a pastor, but because he was the one who came to my bed every night to pray with me, and then taught me to pray, and then each morning he would hold hands with my older brother and sister and me and would bless us before we went out the door to school. He filled the home with the presence of God. When he died, I felt that the presence of God had suddenly left as well. I was angry with God. God had not answered my prayers for my father when he fell ill. Maybe, I thought, maybe my prayers weren't that important to God after all. I stopped praying. I started not caring about much of anything. 2 years went by with scarcely a thought given by me to God. And then one night, God called out to me. My mother had gotten a Billy Graham crusade. They went for all four of the nights. I finally condescended to go for one. And that night I heard God's voice bidding me to come. And as I like to say, no, it was not with a southern accent. I went forward and asked Jesus into my heart, and I discovered that I was a child of God. And throughout all the painful struggles of adolescent identity issues and youthful discovery, and all of the years since, that identity stuck. And that has made all the difference. I knew then, and know now, that I was an orphan no longer. Dr. Frederick Buechner, the great American writer and theologian, went through a similar tragic loss in his life where he was, as he put it, forced to stare into the nightmare of much of existence. He passed away just this last August, but not before he reflected on his life. He said, "Always," he said, "the unanswerables of life have been before me. The questions, the whys. Dear God, why?" So how did he face them and go on to become the great person of faith that he did become? Well, here are his own words. God doesn't always give us answers. God gives us himself. God is with us, and God gives us himself. But what about this present darkness? What is this darkness of our age to us? How are we to view it? You know, there is a profound thought, and it's a new thought that's going around in ELCA Lutheran and Episcopal circles just now. I heard it for the very first time only 2 weeks ago. Now, if you've heard it before me, forgive me for being slow. But try to envision this thought with me for a moment. Is this darkness that seems to envelop us, is it the darkness of the tomb? Or is it the darkness of the womb? Is it the end of all things, or just possibly a new beginning, the birth pangs of a whole new way of life and of being together? It's Easter, folks. We are a people who believe in new life, who believe in resurrection, who believe that even the darkest night will issue forth into the new day of light. That even the tomb becomes a womb. You know, I just can't think of a more appropriate way of putting that than on a Mother's Day. Jesus turned the tomb into a womb. Remember those opening words of the Gospel according to John. In him was life, and the life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And because Jesus has given to you and to me his Spirit, you and I are now his light in the world. Nothing dispels darkness as does light. Dare we believe it? Dare we not believe it? There is a promise of God that does not fail. No matter what you may be feeling or thinking to the contrary in these times, you have the presence of God within you through the gift of God's Spirit. That is the presence that will never leave you nor forsake you. That is the presence that will empower you to be light here and now, to overcome the darkness. God is ever present, ever understanding, ever giving his strength to overcome. Because Christ lives, you and I live. We will never be orphaned. Alleluia. Oh, say it with me. Alleluia. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.